Hello and welcome back to the Conversation App podcast, a show for geeks, artists and terrible people. In this episode, me and Ben talk about rehearsing our phone conversations and what do we think a snickerdoodle is. All this and more on the Conversation App podcast. We've really been enjoying reading your comments on Spotify recently, so if you have something you want to say or a question you want to put in the hat, why not drop it on Spotify? Yeah? Give it a go and enjoy the episode.
Conversation Hat Podcast.
All of these things are possible. Hello, Ben. Yes. Ben.
Hello, Liam. How the piss are you?
How the piss am I? Piss is pretty good. I think I've misplaced my hilarious notebook. It's okay. This is all stuff. Oops, squeaky chair. Sounds a bit like a bum fart. This is all stuff I could have prepared in advance, but didn't. I am well. I need to look at my book to know how I was, but I'm pretty sure I'm fine.
That's good.
You saw Book of Mormon, cheeky
bastard. I did see Book of Mormon.
Is it
cheeky? I mean, it was my birthday.
That is very cheeky. Considering your birthday was months ago, that's pretty cheeky.
Yeah, well, considering that my birthday was months ago and your present to me for my birthday from 3 years ago is happening next month.
No, that's this year.
Oh.
We're waiting for Tony Law to tour again.
Ah, fair enough.
We're waiting for his tour to come to Cambridge and then we'll definitely go to that.
Cool.
Because COVID,
Yeah, Sammy got me tickets. Well, she got me a card that says IOU one theatre.
An entire theatre.
And I was like, I'll have the Globe, please. And she went, no, you have misconstrued, perhaps for hilarious japes and jokes. Mm. So yeah, we went to go and see Book of Mormon.
Nice.
Really fucking good.
Neat. I have heard it is quite good.
I did not expect, but was not as surprised as perhaps I should have been. Wait, no. I didn't expect, yet was not surprised by the amount of swearing in there, given that it's Matt Stone and Trey Parker.
Yes.
From South Park and Team America fame.
And basketball.
I've not seen it.
It doesn't mean they're not in it.
All right. Which do you think is more famous, South Park or that one?
Oh, I think basketball, certainly. Considering it's been running for how many years now? Many years.
Running?
It's a long film. Very long film. We haven't seen the end of it. It's so long. Such a long film. Oh, boy. I can't see. You're in the shadow. Have you closed your eyes and tried to disassociate?
Are you ill?
No, I'm doing really well. Not as well as basketball. 40th year in the box office. We still don't have the stats because the film is still running.
This feels like when you're trying to be funny, but you're very sick or tired.
Well, I am trying to be funny. That's true.
Okay.
Damn it, Ben, tell me about the film. It wasn't a film.
It's a musical.
It was a musical.
Book of Mormon.
Yes.
Not surprised that there were quite so many swear words in there.
Yes.
Was surprised about some of the lines from the show.
Right.
I'm not going to give any spoilers, but I didn't expect there to be... I didn't expect hobbits or Darth Vader.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But there they go. Or Hitler.
Hmm. Those are the three
Genghis
cultural
Khan.
Touchstones.
And Jeffrey Dahmer.
And Jeffrey Dahmer.
Those I do not consider as spoilers, because if you listen to the soundtrack, they are mentioned in the song Spooky Mormon Hell Dream.
Spooky Mormon Hell Dream.
Spooky, spooky, spooky.
I remember Spooky Mormon Hell Dream. I had to do one of my first jobs when I worked in a school. I used to edit a lot of music for the... for drama, but particularly for the dance GCSE and the dance A-level. So kids would come to me and be like, I've got this song. My dance routine has to be within 2 minutes. This is a three-minute song. Can you please take out this section? Yes, easy. I'm a very good editor. That's fine. And one of the first things I had to do was Spooky Mormon Hell Dream. I had to take that into like a neat minute and a half or something, which is very funny.
Yeah. I've not laughed and gone ooh quite so many times I've not seen anything like that in the theatre before.
Cool.
Spooky Mormon Hell Dream, in particular, was just like watching a live action episode of South Park.
Yes.
Like when they fall into hell or whatever and it all just gets a bit weird.
Mm.
But there's actual paid professionals whose job it is to do this stuff.
There is something really funny about when you have something just completely ridiculous, having that on a theatrical scale with, I assume, a pit band and like professional actors in a huge venue. There's something as silly as that is just so much funnier when it's on a grand scale. It's why, like, this is a Richard Jackson point that I rehash often. It's why, like, local news is fucking hilarious. Because the newspapers can say things like, accidental duck found in lorry. And that's a headline because nothing happens in Shropshire.
Because nothing else has happened, but they have to. But it's news.
Yes.
And, like, stuff like this, because obviously all of the people participating in it are professional.
Mm.
And it has been, it would have been workshopped for a long time and then written and rehearsed and put together and choreographed and all in different ways and costume, and hours and thousands and thousands and thousands of hours have been put into this.
Yes.
Just for such fucking batshit crazy stuff.
Just to poke fun at a cult.
People singing about how he wants to be going to Orlando.
Mm.
Song about baptism, but it makes it sound like you're about to lose your virginity.
Yep.
It's thoroughly enjoyable, absolute chaos. I would recommend it to anyone.
Yeah.
Literally anyone. I did. Sammy said that in the bathroom afterwards there was a quite deep philosophical debate going on about religion.
Cool.
Like, one person pro, one person against. And I was like, really? Is that... this is the show that's made you have that discussion?
Well, yeah, probably.
Also, whilst I was waiting for her to leave the bathroom, I saw, and I shit you not, a Girl Scout and her mother leaving.
Incredible.
Yep. At the end of the show as well, not like halfway through. They'd stuck it out.
Yeah, good for them. I think, like, that's... It is very nice to have very, very silly theatre and very, very silly art and very funny art. I think those two guys really probably would quite like to take down the Mormon faith because it is mental. It is a cult. It's a practical joke gone too wrong for too long. And it's only like, it's only overshadowed by the second craziest cult in America, which is of course Scientology. Because they don't like it when you call it a cult. And that's the number one thing about cults. They don't like to be called cults. Which is why when you refer to any religion as a cult, they don't like it, but it's very funny. Cool, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You would presumably recommend Book of Mormon.
Yes, to anyone.
Good.
Who likes musicals or doesn't like musicals. I saw Dad and Sharon over the weekend. Hello.
Hello.
And they were saying that Dad said that he wanted to go and see Matilda because he's not seen that, and Tim Minchin, so of course.
Yes.
And I was like, I saw the Netflix thing at the cinema. Obviously going to be different than the stage show, but...
You saw the Netflix thing at the cinema.
So the Netflix did a film of the Tim Minchin musical of Matilda, but you could go and see it at the cinema as well.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
I saw it at the cinema. It was good. It was it was Matilda.
Yes.
You got a lovely... few slices of Tim Minchin showing through. It was very good. At points you could almost hear him singing it as he composed it. But yeah, that's Matilda. If you've seen Matilda, you've got most of this. You could listen to the soundtrack. If you want to see nothing you've ever seen before on stage, go and see Book of Mormon.
There was
go and see it twice.
There was a South Park episode that was about the founding of Mormonism.
Joseph Smith, yes.
Smart.
Dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum.
Yeah, which I think may have been... I think it was the popularity of that episode that led to Book of Mormon.
That was a good episode.
Ben.
Joseph's wife did question him. Smart, 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 smart.
Ben, this episode is brought to us by Mother Gaia. What does Mother Gaia...
You're going to ask what Mother Gaia has to offer our listeners.
Yeah, what does Mother Gaia have to offer our listeners this
Nothing.
Week?
Nothing why, if we why? Keep raping her with oil and fumes. Fumes. Oh, no. The plants. The sea. No, the air. Recycle.
Yes, recycling will fix it. And it's got nothing to do with renewable energy or better practices at an industrial scale or billionaires paying their tax. You've got to rinse out your egg packets and put them in the right bin. I know that I alienated people by referring to them as egg packets. I understand that, but I'm sticking with it.
You mean shells, you silly goose.
No, I meant egg cartons.
That's the shells. That's the egg packet.
No, the cardboard doodads.
Yeah. Shells.
The shells are egg souche.
Have I been eating eggs wrong?
Possibly. I don't want you eat eggs. I haven't signed up to your OnlyFans.
Why not? That's coming out soon. More Fuck on that story later.
Shall we do it?
Yes.
I've written down oil and fumes as an episode title. Here we bloody go. Do you rehearse phone conversations? I do. I absolutely do. It's the only way to dial a phone.
All of them?
Well, not necessarily all of them. If I know that I'm ringing Ben to be like, why are you late? That's not something I need to rehearse. Because there's no point in rehearsing with you, because you'll pick up that you'll, instead of saying ahoy hoy, like a normal person answering the phone, you'll be like, I'm on fire. And well, there goes my script. So there's no point in rehearsing with you.
I mean, sometimes it happens.
It does. It's all the oil and fumes.
It's all the oil and fumes.
If I'm speaking to someone I don't know, or I don't know very well, or I'm phoning up, like, a company or a service or something, and you don't know what customer service professional you're going to get, yeah, I absolutely rehearse phone conversations. I try not to. I try to just wing it, because that's, I think, better for anxiety, is to not let the demons win.
Sure.
And also be like, well, worst case scenario, you take an extra 20 minutes on this phone with someone while they work out what your problem is. They get paid. They are literally being paid to do this thing. As long as I get a result, I don't really care if I look like a muppet in the process. So I try not to, but quite often I do.
I think it depends on the thing. Like, if I ring you and say, I can't do recording this Saturday because I've got to go and help a moose that's stuck in a drain.
Because it's on fire.
That's the only information that I need to convey.
Yes.
That's in my brain already. I know that, so it's information that I'm giving to you. If I have to ring the doctors, to book travel jabs, then I might make notes.
Yes.
Because I'll be like, okay, so they need this information, this information, this information. I'll write it down and check that so I don't go, ah, shit, I need to... You know?
No, you're absolutely right. I think with that sort of thing, I would likely have my diary in front of me. Doctors is the big one that springs to my mind. I'd probably have my diary in front of me so I know when I'm travelling, so I know how far in advance I need to get jabs, so I can just give them the travel dates, which is in front of me. My doctors aren't great at picking up the phone. It's not their fault. There's like one of them, they're overworked because the government is crushing public services. Surprise, surprise.
Yep.
So it will take between 20 minutes and 40 minutes to get a reply from someone, usually. On the old phone, if I'm calling my doctors. So I will usually use that time to be like, I have this problem. I need an appointment within the next X amount of time. I cannot do Mondays. And then I just sort of work that out whilst I'm on the phone, because I know now that, like, they're not going to pick up immediately. So I can use that time on hold to hash out what it is I actually need to say. What information do they need? What are the likely questions they're going to ask me? I think it's a very normal thing for people our age. I don't know if it's affected the younger generations. So we're like, Ben, when do I start saying mid-30s?
I mean, we're millennials.
Yeah.
We can just say that.
I don't have to say mid-30s, do I?
So instead of lying about my age, I'm just going to change the context on how I describe it. So I'm now going to say, in my near 30 years on this earth.
That is near 30. You're absolutely right.
Because it is near 30.
It's near 30.
It's as near to 30 as 27 is. It's just not necessarily in the direction you just...
Yeah. In a universal context, 100 is as close to 30 as 2000. Like, fuck it.
Yeah, you know? It's been a near 30 years.
Age is just a number, Ben.
Are you 30? Almost.
Oh, close. You're very close.
Yeah, very close. sorry, I interrupted.
No.
Feel free to use that if you're ever feeling self-conscious.
In my near 30 years, as a millennial, I think it's a very common thing for people to have anxiety about talking on the phone. I definitely do. I don't pick up, as you know, too much to your annoyance, I don't pick up unfamiliar numbers unless I know I'm expecting a call from someone who is not saved in my thing. I just won't. They can leave a voice message or text me. It's fine. It doesn't matter. It has never negatively impacted me.
Yeah.
The only times I have picked up, it's some kind of telemarketer or someone trying to sell me something I don't want, or trying to con me out of money. So, like, no, absolutely not. But I think it is a very common thing, and I'm intrigued to know why it is that as a generation, a lot of us have gone, I just am not talking on the phone. And I wonder if it's got something to do with the fact that you can't see... When I have a conversation with someone, I need to see their reaction to the things I'm saying.
I was going to say that.
It's not so mad if it's a medical conversation, because if I'm talking to a receptionist or a nurse or a doctor on the phone, I don't necessarily need to see their reaction to what I'm saying. If I'm saying I have a pain in my XYZ, they're not going to physically recoil if I'm in their presence, because that would be unprofessional. So I know that they're just going to listen to me. And if they think I'm full of shit, they'll prescribe me something anyway to get me off the phone.
Sure.
But if it's if it's someone I'm trying to get work out of, or someone I'm trying to build some kind of relationship with, I need that visual feedback. And I think that might be why it is. That's my guess anyway. You don't give a shit. You'll say anything to anyone.
Well, I don't know if I would say that I don't give a shit and would say anything to anyone. But, like, I think it depends. Because I never liked... way back before we had Deliveroo and all the apps and order online stuff, I used to have to ring up the takeaway.
Yes.
Order the stuff, and you would do the maths in your head, and you would have to make sure that you had the money, and then you would double check that was the money, and it was only cash. So it had to be all of that. So that was a bit of a, air quotes, stressful phone situation. But I don't know if it's... Because it's not like we didn't grow up with phone calls being a thing.
Well, we grew up...
We were on the cusp of... We still had landlines and phone boxes. Yeah. But then we were growing up as phones turned into a landline that you had in your pocket.
We were the last generation of, I think, what's called non-digital natives. So people 10 years younger than us are digital natives. They will have grown up with the internet being a thing, with access to broadband internet in their homes.
Didn't make noise.
Probably some kind of smartphone. That didn't make noise, didn't have a modem. When we grew up, I imagine you may have been the same as me up until the age of, like, oh, I don't know, maybe 13. If you wanted to hang out with your mates, you had two options. Leave the house, go to their house and see if they were home and free.
Sometimes they weren't home.
Sometimes they just weren't home, and you'd have to be like, well, back I go. Or you'd have to phone them, which inevitably would mean that you have to talk to one of their parents or siblings for a short period
of
time.
Is Liam there, please?
No.
It's Ben from school.
All right, Ben from school. what class? I'm all over the place. What classes do you have with my son?
No, you're right. The parents did have a bit of a chat with you.
Yeah.
You're right. How's how are school? You? How are you? I'm looking for Liam. What do you want, Debbie?
They're trying to vamp while they go to whatever room I'm in.
Yeah.
Which is hilarious because people would never phone me.
Oh.
No, I deserved it.
Okay. Do you want to talk about that?
No. I want to keep it good and repressed, thank you. I find it interesting that, considering we had to do that when we were kids, when the internet at, like, early teenage years became a thing, we actually, in my household, we didn't get the internet properly installed until a bit later compared to, like, it had been in school for a couple of years until we actually got it at home.
Uh-huh.
And then it was all about MSN and MySpace and messaging online. Like, we didn't have smartphones, so we didn't really text. We didn't have phones, so we didn't really text. It was all MSN, very occasionally an email. And then it was a few years after that that we then were able to start texting. Again, I think my family were quite late adopters of that sort of technology, so you may well have been texting the entire time.
I wasn't allowed a phone. I don't think I had a phone until I was about 13, 14.
I was probably... I think I was 16.
I had a Nokia 3310 that I had...
Of course you did.
Oh, no, I must have been older. But I bought that for a tenner off of someone in school, and I just kept it in my drawer because then I had one, even though I wasn't allowed one.
Right, yes.
I don't recall. I think that I got stuff younger than when my sister did.
Right.
Because I think my sister was like, no, it was sort of like, oh, no, you have to be 16 before you get your ears pierced. And then she got hers pierced and didn't explode into the sin or something.
Yes.
So then I was allowed to get mine pierced when I was 14.
Yeah, you've got your tryout kid where you have your hardline authoritarian and then... Nah, fuck it. I wonder if there's something about how maybe we went too hard with instant messaging and texting. So now the very idea of calling someone feels a bit weird. Or maybe the folks younger than us, maybe they have the same sort of experience. I don't know. Are you young? Do you struggle with basic human functions? Write in if you can bear it.
You're asking the young people to write in.
Yes. Send us a Yahoo.
So what we mean by write in?
Fucking
send us a
fucking tweet us, I don't know. Whatever. Yeah.
Call 118118 and ask for our PO box.
What you should do is just hand a postcard to the milkman and it'll get to us. These milkman man, they're great.
The milkman man.
Milkman man. Does that
answer the question?
I think it does. Yeah.
What was the question?
I rehearse phone conversations. I have to, otherwise I'll explode. But I'm not the standard by which anyone should be living their lives. So if you don't have to rehearse phone conversations, that's bully for you. Congrats and stuff.
As long as I know what I'm saying, which is rarely, if you haven't guessed by now.
Weirdly, this show is scripted.
We spend so much hours and hours
into the pre-production of this podcast. Ridiculous.
Every 30-minute podcast takes us 4.5 hours to prep.
It's just like Liam and Ben, 2 a.m. in the writer's room, like dog ends and like empty whiskey bottles everywhere. Ben flips the table. Stop mentioning Mother Gaia. It's not funny. Just post it. It's just with my handwriting. Just Mother Gaia.
Laura in the corner doing the
and this
accounts.
Punchline is Mother Gaia. And we can bring back a recurring character,
Mother Gaia.
Absolutely ridiculous bullshit. Right, the next question is...
Conversation.
Okay. You know how sometimes when you can tell the hat is struggling to generate questions, what? It comes up with something really broad?
Is that the question? Is that what's written on the...
No, I'm doing a little preamble.
Oh, I thought we were just going to try and get that to be the... Okay.
No, I'm doing a preamble right now. When the hat is clearly struggling with topics or questions, so it comes up with something broad, like what's the biggest thing that has ever been, or how do you feel about ennui, or these quite sort of, like, basically, I find it really interesting when you get very specific questions out of the hat.
Okay.
because it's like, well, was the hat, what was the hat doing this day that made him think this specific thing? The question is, Ben, that was the preamble. Preamble sponsored by Mother Gaia. Based only on its name, what ingredients do you think are in a snickerdoodle? You ever had a snickerdoodle?
It's a snicker and a poodle.
Oh, it's not a drawing of a Snickers.
It could be a drawing of a Snickers.
It's a rough drawing of a Snickers.
It's an American biscuit thing, isn't it?
American biscuit. Well, they would call it a cookie.
Yeah, not like an American biscuit, but it is a biscuit type thing from America, I think.
Which America, Ben?
The United States of them.
Ah, the Middle America.
The United States of the Americas.
Yes, I believe it is. I have had snickerdoodles. I'll go one further. I have made some of the little bastards. The spirit of the question is I guess that it sounds like a candy bar that we have in this country. So it's not to be confused with the marathon doodle.
Or the Mars doodle. Oh!
Or the Mars doodle.
Well, I just wanted to Google snickerdoodle. Imagined that it would be some would sort of soft chocolate, like a chocolate bar with something soft in it, like somewhere between nougat and the marshmallow fluff. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Yeah, no, certainly. I think you're right that there is something about the prefix Snickers or Snicker that does make me think, well, that must be
chocolate
made of, or I would have assumed nuts. There's something in the I think we tangent. Have you seen the Kiki and the Booba? Open-ended question.
Do you need help? The Kiki.
I do
Kiki
need help.
And the Booba. Oh yes. the shapes
you do, yes. So there's a weird psychological thing where we kind of associate specific
sounds
and letters with specific shapes, so that there's an exercise where you have two shapes and you are told that one of these shapes is a kiki, the other is a booba. You are asked which is which, and there's one of the shapes is like a nice big round fat cloud, the other is kind of spiky. Like an explosion cartoon thing. And by and large, people say the round thing is the booba and the spiky thing is the kiki. And that's because we associate Ks and Ts, these kind of hard consonants, with spikiness. And we associate these kind of Bs and Os and Ws with kind of fat, wobbly, jiggling lovelies.
But this is true over multiple languages. It's not just an English-speaking thing or anything like that, which is why, the mother and the father thing, in lots of languages there'll be a m for the mother, which is sort of like a here, come and get, and da,
yes,
or pa is over there, because the
dada papa, it is
seems to be further away.
These kind of language parallels. So there's something about when you say snicker, the kind of you've got doodle, which is kind of a bit like a bit of a kind of a booberry type thing, but because the
I'm a doodle.
The poo-poo, the doo-doo, was that?
I'm a doodle.
Ah, now I understand fully. I think it's because of the kind of the harsh consonants, the snicker, I think because that's first, it kind of outweighs the doodle, so I kind of expect something sort of crunchy, maybe a little harsher. Like, did you ever have those kind of caramelised sesame seed bars that mothers of a certain generation would insist is a treat?
Yes, I did not like them.
Yeah, they're gross, aren't they? It kind of has that sort of crunchy, nutty vibe to me when you say snickerdoodle. They're actually very soft.
I was about to say, but
they're crispy on the outside.
I'm now looking, and they just look like very soft, chewy cookies.
So they're kind of crunchy on the outside.
Oh, they've got cinnamon in them.
And then very soft. Do you not like cinnamon?
No, there's very little that I like with cinnamon. I like cinnamon rolls, like the swirls, but I think that's pretty much it. Everything else has that bit of cinnamon, and I'm like, oh.
So they're not, they haven't got cinnamon in them, they have cinnamon on them.
Yes.
Which is different.
But it's still as an ingredient.
It's that kind of I think you've got to use quite a lot of cinnamon in order for it to properly taste. So the ones that I've made, I mean, granted, like, I've made them once and wasn't necessarily getting everything right, but they're not, they don't really taste of much. But they are like, they do that nice sort of soft cookie thing where they've got like quite a satisfying taste, satisfying mm-hmm. texture and mouth feel. So you're less concerned about the taste. So yeah, I think in the spirit of the question, I would assume snickerdoodles would have had nuts in. Some kind of harsher, crunchy aspect.
Yeah.
Actually, they're very soft. I think you could just call them doodles.
Oh.
In fact, I might call them doodles from now on.
You do that.
Hey Ben, can I put a doodle in your mouth?
No.
Okay, very good.
Not a fan of the cinnamon.
Oh yeah, fair enough. Funsie onesies. Well, I mean, that was the episode, I guess. I've written down one title, Ben.
Well done. One.
I've written down one title.
Is it the one at the beginning?
Yes, it was that very first thing that I wrote down, Oil and Fumes.
Yeah, let's go with Oil and Fumes.
Ben, where are you online? My old snickerdoodle.
I'm on Instagram, at Spike Pearson, P-I-E-R-S-O-N. Normally pictures of things that I'm up to, like going to see Book of Mormon or having some soup. I've not put a picture of soup up for some time. Come look at the pictures.
I'm at LT Guitarist. Mostly I do music and stuff. There's a good bit of music on Instagram if you want to see me make silly, stupid noises. Or just track the gradual receding of my hairline. Those are the two things you can do on Instagram. I'm getting back into the routine of doing live streams, so if you're interested in music in a broad sense, if you want to learn how to use Cubase, how to produce music, how to make stupid noises, that's happening. Mondays, I'm not quite confirmed the new time. I'm pretty sure it's going to be 6 till 8 UK time Mondays, LT Guitarist on Twitch and YouTube. It's fun, it's free, it's fancy, and there's a nice little community there. So that's nice.
It's free, mm-hmm. It's fancy. Yeah. Do the stuff, get the thing, put it round there.
Put it in your mouth.
It's fun, it's free, it's fancy.
Put it in your mouth. The podcast, speaking of put it in your mouth, is at Convo Hat Podcast on fucking TikTok, Instagram, Twitter, all the shit, all the fucking places. It never stops. If you want the show to be better, like maybe we should start scripting this. I don't know. Patreon.com/conversationhat. Ben, how many dollary do's to unlock the single question mini episode?
Oh, it's like a fucking one.
Yes, it is a dollary do to unlock all the stuff. Not only do you get access to a free single question mini episode, you also get...
Not just that.
You also get behind the scenes of things we're doing. There's also like a special little Discord area for podcast Patreon pod babies. It's good. It's fancy. It's full of eggs. It's good. It's fancy.
It's full of
the
eggs.
Eggs are gone. Someone made a very big omelette. I'm struggling. So that's the episode.
Yay!
We did it. I'm pressing stop now. Booba my Kiki. Kiki my Booba.